Chapter 33. One another, to keep themselves upon their feet. The violent rushes abate not, but increase in frequency and fury until at midnight, when the streets are empty, the storm goes thundering along them, rattling at all the latches, and tearing at all the shutters, as if warning the people to get up and fly with it, rather than have the roofs brought down upon their brains. Still, the red light burns steadily. Nothing is steady but the red light. All through the night the wind blows, and abates not. But early in the morning, when there is barely enough light in the east to dim the stars, it begins to lull. From that time, with occasional wild charges, like a wounded monster dying, it drops and sinks, and at full daylight it is dead. It is then seen that the hands of the cathedral clock are torn off, that led from the roof has been stripped away, rolled up, and blown into the close, and that some stones have been displaced upon the summit of the great tower. Christmas morning though it be, it is necessary to send up workmen to ascertain the extent of the damage done. These, led by Durdles, go aloft, while Mr. Tope and a crowd of early idlers gather down in Minor Canon Corner, shading their eyes and watching for their appearance up there. This cluster is suddenly broken, and put aside by the hands of Mr. Jasper. All the gazing eyes are brought down to the earth by his loudly inquiring of Mr. Crisparkle, at an open window. Where is my nephew? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he has not been here. Is he not with you? Apostrophe, no. He went down to the river last night, with Mr. Neville, to look at the storm, and has not been back. Call Mr. Neville. Apostrophe, he left this morning early. Apostrophe, left this morning early? Let me in. Let me in. Apostrophe, there is no more looking up at the tower now. All the assembled eyes are turned on Mr. Jasper, white, half-dressed, panting, and clinging to the rail before the Minor Canon's house. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.